feast of today, the one surely the most joyful of the year, the birth of our Lord, our Lord's birthday. 2,000 years now, and the church is his church. At a lower point after 2,000 years than at any other time during those 2,000 years. A few very simple lessons from the third mystery of the Holy Rosary. Firstly, God is unexpected. He doesn't do what we expect him to do. A favorite quote of mine, you know, from Isaiah: "My thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways," says the Lord. Which of us would have thought of coming into the world, if we were coming in as God, of coming into the world in a little stable, sheep stall, and then lying down in our first cradle, an animal's eating crib? Who would have thought of that? We are never going to be sure what, so to speak, God will do next. There is, of course, a divine wisdom in everything he does, but let us not think that we can fathom his thoughts, or that we can predict what he will do, or that we can still less let us think that we can criticize what he will do. His thoughts and his way of doing things go far beyond ourselves. And of course, he knows exactly what he's doing and how he wants to do it. And we simply follow. We follow, we admire, we adore. We admire, we adore, and we follow. And that's enough. That's more than enough. Fortunate if we do know how to admire and adore and follow. Secondly, our Lord is obviously humanly weak. That's one of the unexpected things. That's one of the forms in which he shows himself so unexpectedly, that he chooses human weakness. He chooses what looks to us like weakness. And that's perhaps a large part of what's so unexpected. We would expect him to come in a manifestation of power, as sometimes he does. One thinks of Moses and Mount Sinai, and the people of Israel were terrified by earthquakes and lightning, thunder. The Lord God then showed all his power. But obviously, at Christmas, this scene in the sheep stall is no Mount Sinai. It's the exact opposite. And it's completely unnoticed by the world, or almost completely unnoticed by the world. Of course, when the politicians get hold of it, there will be the usual flood of lies and murder. That's the world. And we watch the lies and the murder going on around us now. This latest event in New York, which is absolutely not what the media presented to us as. Herod, was it any worse, any better than Herod coming after this little child with knives and slaughtering all the little children in the village? No better, worse, let's just say, and we're probably most accurately we say, about the same. But that's not our Lord's interest. That's not our Lord's way of operating. Our Lord will see to that. It's nothing in all of that escapes him. And so even though humanly he's weak, even though he shows himself in human weakness, again, he knows what he's doing. And it's obviously not because he lacks strength or lacks power, but that He's not seeking, he's not pursuing the goals of the world. He's pursuing our hearts. He wants our love. He wants our submission, our loyalty. He wants to get us to heaven. He wants us to follow him. And he won't do it by using force. He'll never do it by using force. Somebody very well said, you can do anything with bayonets except sit on them. Meaning you can conquer the whole world with force, but once you've conquered it, you're not going to be able to sit easy. We've seen that perhaps in Afghanistan. 10 years ago, they used the bayonets, so the bayonets worked, and then they left off the bayonets. The hearts hadn't been touched, and the hearts are not being touched. That's the world. That's the world. Our Lord is after hearts, men's hearts, and this is the way. This is clearly the way, in littleness, in simplicity, in apparent weakness, not using his force, in order to touch us and reach our love, to reach our affections, which no one ever did by force. So, apparent weakness. And thirdly, same thing really, our Lord, the strength of our Lord is not the strength of the world. Our Lord is not using worldly methods, but the strength is there. 300 years ago, as the modern world was beginning to take shape, to take its awful shape, our Lord appeared to St. Margaret Mary, to whom he revealed the love of his Sacred Heart, to whom he taught the devotion to his Sacred Heart. And he told her, way back then, just when my enemies think that they're going to triumph, I will overcome them. And today, it's easy to think that our Lord is defeated. It's easy to think that the church is crushed, the Catholic Church is crushed. It's easy to think that our Lord got it wrong, and so the methods of the church need to be changed in order to fit the modern world, and that was Vatican II, a completely misguided attempt to adapt the ways of the church to the modern world in order to get through to the modern world, and it did the exact opposite. It failed worse than ever to reach through to the modern world, and it simply emptied out the church. Instead of filling the world, it emptied out the church. But the temptation is great to think that what the church has always done will no longer work, that the church has lost its power, that God is as... to say it is such a foolishness. So to speak, that God has lost his way. Just to say it like that is to make evident the foolishness. But that's how people are behaving in the Catholic Church today. That's how so many Catholics are thinking. God has lost his way, and we need to straighten him out. Foolishness. So, thirdly, God is unexpected, God is weak, or shows himself in weakness, but God has not lost his way. He is still the complete master of this whole situation around us today. He will come through, there's every expectation that he will come through unexpectedly. The one thing we can expect is that how he will come through is not to be expected. He will surprise us almost certainly. He's surprising us day by day, today, in the degree to which he is allowing his church apparently to be crushed, trampled upon, despised, dissolved, broken, the situation gets worse day by day. And yet, if you compare it, of course, with our Lord in his passion, it could hardly be more shocking, apparently scandalizing, and so on, more of an apparent defeat. But our Lord has not lost his way. Our Lord knows exactly what he's doing. And therefore, dear seminarians, in particular, you and I do not need to change what the Catholic Church has done. We do not need to adapt. We simply need to do what the Church has, precisely what the Church has always done. This was the enormous strength of Archbishop Lefebvre. As you know, various doctors of the Church, Duns Scotus is called the subtle doctor, Thomas Aquinas is called the angelic doctor, or the common doctor. The various doctors have their names. I can remember a society priest who once said, Archbishop Lefebvre ought to be called the obvious doctor, or the doctor of the obvious, the teacher of the obvious, the man who, the archbishop who stayed with what's obvious, who was the only one that didn't get blown away from what's obvious, the only one who didn't allow himself to be completely confused and who didn't fall for the enormous deceit by which so many churchmen fell into. If so many churchmen came to not know their right hand from their left, and the situation is still there today. It's extraordinary. These very intelligent, very trained, in many cases, humanly seen, very virtuous men, who they have lost their way. They have lost the sense of what they should be doing and how they should be doing it, where they're going and where they come from. Extraordinary. And the mass of them at Vatican II, it happened to. And then, so the title for the Archbishop, the Doctor of the Obvious, the one who, and it is obvious that the Catholic Church shouldn't change. The ways of God don't need to be updated. And what the Archbishop, of course, did was to use these humanly very weak, and if you compare it with the modern world, so to speak, completely unexpected means, the means of the Church of all time, the seven sacraments. What could be more weak than that? A few words, a little water, a little oil, that's nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet, can one say, I think one can say, without Archbishop Lefebvre staying with the weak and unexpected means that the Church has always stayed with, because those are God's means, the Archbishop is the greatest single obstacle to the destruction of the Church. Can we say that without him the Church would have been destroyed? No, we can't say that, because God would have found some other way. The Church can't be destroyed. But nevertheless, the means that God used, surely, amongst the means that God used to prevent the Church from being destroyed, the Archbishop takes a front rank in these recent years. And by what means? By the obvious, unexpected means. By the obvious, weak, and unexpected means. What else can one say? And so, let's just say, played a large part, I think it's undeniable, in holding the Church against this craziness that otherwise swept away so many of the churchmen. And of course, the Catholic Church holding, the Catholic Church is again the end stop. It's a strange comparison, but the Catholic Church in general is the ugly fat man at the end of the tug of war rope. Because if the Catholic Church gives way, you are the salt of the earth. That's saying it rather more handsomely. That's how the Lord God would say it. You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We don't read in the gospel that you are the man at the end of the tug of war rope. But the salt of the earth and the light of the world says the same thing. If the Catholic Church holds, the world can hold. If the Catholic Church doesn't hold, the world can't hold. And so this one man, playing a large part in holding the church, and the church, insofar as it holds, holding what is still to be held in the world, that's still the case of the Catholic Church. There's no other end stop. There's nothing else that holds. And how did he do it? By the littlest, simplest, most apparently weak, ineffective means, by staying with these extraordinary, out-of-date doctrines of the Church of all time, these unreasonable dogmas, these unrealistic demands upon modern man. That's what he stayed with. And that is what has stopped the church from completely collapsing. And that's what stopped the world from completely collapsing. Because if there weren't that, we would be left with the media and all of them, and so on and so on. That would be all that there would be. The media et al. And others. So, dear seminarians, if you may not have a vocation, don't worry. Live one week at a time, 1 month at a time, and that's easily enough. While you're here, you're serving God, you're loving God, you're adoring God, and you're serving God. And you may well, if you leave the seminary, you may well look back and see that this is what the time you were here was one of the happiest times of your life. Be that as it may, those of you that do have a vocation, or think if it does seem that you have a vocation, as you go out for the Christmas vacation, and as you prepare, of course, to go out into the world, the seminary is not an end in itself. You aren't a seminary in order to be a good seminarian. You're a seminary in order to be a good priest. As you go out into the world now, and as you will go out prepare to go into the world at the end of your seminary, remember our Lord's ways are quite different from the world's ways. Be careful of the world's ways. The world will try to pull you to itself, because if our Lord is in you, you are a standing rebuke. You and I, we are a standing rebuke to the world and its ways. And so it will deploy all its cleverness, eventually even force, in order to pull us off this track of our Lord. Watch yourselves. Watch and pray. Vigilatit orati. Watch how the world does. Some of you know already. You know the atmosphere. You know the temptation. You know. And then you come back to the seminary and you realize the difference again. And when you're a priest, you will have to go out there and you will have to maintain what you had at the seminary. And it will have to be so well inside you. While you're at the seminary, it comes from the outside into you. But when you are a priest, it's going to have to come from the inside to everybody else. Watch during these vacations, these little vacations, watch the spirit of the world, watch how it contrasts with the spirit of our Lord. And, of course, then, while easing off and recovering strength to pick up for a new school year, in particular for the delights of the semester exams at the end of January, while easing off to gather strength, nevertheless, be careful how you ease off and think of our Lord in the sheep stall. Think of the nativity scene. Think how different our Lord is from the world, and remember who it is that you're following. And, of course, like our Lord, stay under the protection of the Mother of God. Stay with her wherever she is, her son is sure to be. Wherever she is chased away, wherever she can't be, any situations in which she can't be or couldn't be, you can be fairly sure our Lord is not, well, you can be certain our Lord is not pleased. Our Lord would hardly be there either. Use the Mother of God as your protection and as your measure of what you can and should be doing and can't and shouldn't be doing in the name of the Father.